Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 593. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Everything's going to hell in a handcart.
Earl's here too. So he has the handcart.
We're figuring out how to get a podcast with just one exit. One way on, one way off.
And Jeff is here as well.
Hi.
Jeff is stuck in the hallway.
Jeff is the outside waiting with the cops just to see what happens.
Yep. Not stopping on this one.
That is maybe the dumbest fucking idea I've ever heard. You can have one entrance to a school.
I thought you were going to say, like, cops hanging out waiting for other cops, I guess, to show up.
Right.
That also, like, I mean,
that's the part that ruins the entire argument for everything.
Yep. The good guys with guns that aren't going to go fight the bad guy with the gun because they're
who are going to arrest parents for trying to, you know, actually do their job.
Oh, but yeah, these morons that are out there saying that we're. Oh no, the solution is to fortify the schools like they're some sort of prison fort, and there's only one entrance and one exit ever.
That's totally gonna work better because the kid's not gonna walk up and just pull a firearm and just shoot people as they come through the front door.
And of course the problem is going to be the first time, you know, there's a fire,
right,
and. You get a bunch of people dead from, you know, the fact that everybody's trying to get through one door.
Right.
And then people are like, build a fire exit. Then you build in multiple entrances.
Exactly, because those fire exits can, like...
Open.
Yeah, they open, people can get into them. I don't know. Yeah, it's all kind of... come to a head, but for like the last 2 weeks, we had the Buffalo shooting about 2 weeks ago, maybe 10 days ago. I don't even think it was 2 weeks ago now.
It was last week. It was like last week, Thursday or Wednesday. It was not that long ago.
Right. It wasn't long ago at all. And then there was some sort of church shooting.
That was this weekend.
And now this, like, it's, you don't even have time to mourn the last one before a new one hits.
And I was going to say, this is the stuff we know. A lot of stuff, I don't want to say, like, I mean, some stuff gets reported, but some of it, like, for instance, we had a shooting here this weekend. I mean, there's only one person on the train, but that's the second or third train shooting this month. And the other one was the one, I don't know if you folks heard, where it was like, it was several people, and then, like, I think this one too, like, the person turned themselves into the cops, and it's like nothing makes them seem great, because you get all these stories of, like, them not doing anything. Like, the day after the first subway shooting, the cops, they had to show a force. So there's like 9 cops at the police station that I went on when I was going into work. And they're all just, like, hanging around on their phones and stuff. And I'm like, I'm never going to fall somebody for sacking off at work when there's nothing to do. But I'm like, we're paying money for what exactly here? Like, they get most of the city's budget. I mean, I assume most cities, they get most of the budget.
Yeah, that was true. That's true in D.C. as well. And I want to say it was, like, 3 weeks ago. There were members of the city council here who wanted to audit the police force. They're like, we're spending all this money. We want to know what you're spending your time on. The police refused, and the mayor refused to let anybody look at what they're actually doing. That's great. We're spending these huge amounts on these people who sit around with guns who seem to be really good at killing people who don't need to be killed, but also not preventing the crimes that are occurring at an ever increasing rate. Like, what is happening? It doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely sense.
Are they really only there to protect, buildings and serve rich people? Like,
I think they're there to serve the, like, make sure society stays the way it is. That's their only job.
But even then, like, I just get to the point where I think even, you get to the point where even rich people aren't feeling protected by them. Because, like, it's, like, I think it's easy for cops to be called into a situation where it's like, you know, somebody's it's not a very preventative organization. It's not the people who are, you know, like, the reason, like, they keep on saying, like, crime will go down if you have more cops on the street. But, like, that doesn't seem to ever be the case because we keep on throwing money at it and the problems aren't going away. And people are just like, no, you know, like, if you don't give them money, what happens? Like, as far as I can tell, and I could be mistaken, even with studies done, like when cops do showdowns and stuff, crime doesn't really go up.
No. And I mean, if you look at the research on it, like, it's systematic, right? Like, if you pump money into communities and help lift them up, you know, crime goes down. It's not the police that makes it go down. It's that you're helping people, you know, either help themselves or give them basic needs, which is where crime generally stems from, is people doing shit to survive. Like, everybody looks at, and this is probably, it's a giant problem with media just in general, is because we all look at it, it's like, cops are all, you know, Bruce Willis or Mel Gibson.
Uh-huh.
They're superheroes. And criminals are all, like, masterminds. Like, they're all out, like, most criminals aren't these guys performing heists and, like, the shit that you see in movies.
Yes.
It's not true.
And again, I think the biggest point of, not even, like, the Wild West, the action movies, like your John McCain's or whatever. It's like, they're not even great detectives. Like, if you have a cold case, or, like, the odds are them solving it is not, it's not a priority for them.
Not at all.
It's like, it's that stuff that you see where it's like, okay, you know, you have that one dedicated cop who's, like, losing sleep over the fact that this person's been missing for weeks on end. And it's like, no, that's usually not how it happens. It's like, you know, they go, they get their overtime, which is really the big, I don't want to say thing, but, like, that's where a lot of, you know, like, they always say, the, you know, end of the month, that's when a lot of people get speeding tickets because they have to hit their quota. And at the end of the shifts is when a lot of people get arrested and stuff so that they can force overtime and get that extra money.
Yep. Yeah,
guys, people aren't. See a good show about cops? Watch We Own This City. That'll teach you about cops.
I'm also like, I don't necessarily want to see crooked cops right now.
There's a good cop. The one homicide detective. Yeah,
I just don't want to watch shows about
a
cops.
Good cop.
I don't want, like, anything that glorifies the police right now.
Oh, well, yeah. I would not say
well, glorified. I mean, even shows that show cops as bad people, my police.
Yeah, what? Because it's usually when they show them as a bad person, there's always, like, that good cop who's, like, sticking up. And again, like, yep. You've seen time and time again, like, I'm not going to say that there are, you know, all terrible cops. There are good cops. But what tends to happen is the reverse. It's like the good cops are the ones who get pushed out because they aren't going with the system.
Right. They either like, you know, raise the flag against other people, which then it's everybody bans against them because now you're a traitor, or it's just like, we're not going to promote you, we're not going to give you, you know, what you need because you're not a team player.
You guys should watch that show. That's awesome.
I was gonna say, the thing that's funny in hindsight to me is like, so many cop shows would always paint IA as, like, the bad guy's internal affairs. And then, like, uh-huh. And you think about it in hindsight, like, why is it bad that somebody's keeping you account of you actually doing your job? Like, again, it's so frustrating. I mean, like, hearing the stories that have come out of this recent one, and it's like the cops waited, you know, it's kind of been a mishmash of stories, but, like, the cops waited and an hour to go in, or like they would they arrested a parent who was trying to get them to go in to rescue their kid, and she was able to talk them out of she got arrested, and then she was able to like talk somebody into like freeing her, and she had to rush in and save her own kids. And it's like all of these talking points, a good guy with a gun, there were armed people at the school to begin with. I think it's been, I don't know if it's been debunked or they changed their story. I think when it first came out, they were like, the shooter got into an altercation with them and still got into the school. I think they've changed it since then, because they probably realized it made him look bad.
The initial report was that he had crashed his car, engaged with two police officers. He had body armor, which has turned out to not be true. And they were outgunned, and so they did not pursue into the school.
Outgunned by an 18-year-old. Just think about that.
Like, and if you're outgunned, like first off,
they're not out fucking gunned. They have fucking like tanks and shit. Like
exactly, I was gonna say like Earl's in New York, like and. New York City Police Department is better funded than most countries' militaries.
But if they are outgunned, that's a problem too.
Yes.
Yep.
And the fact that, like, because, like, I mean, oh god,
you guys are getting me going now.
There are certain politicians who, you know, have to talk about. But the fact that, like, one, everything he did was on the up and up.
Until he started shooting at the school, he was fine.
Yep.
Yeah, that's.
And they were like, you know, like strict the gun, you know, but like, he's the reason he could buy a gun at 18 is because of the current governor.
There's no checks either, right? Like they got rid of basically like the standard checks you would normally go through.
It is insane. That you need more to rent a car. Heck, you need more to vote than you need to buy a gun.
I don't know if it's still accurate, but I remember, you know, in my 20s, like you couldn't really rent a car without somebody getting like until you were like 25.
25, yes. I don't know.
If 25, that's you can't rent a car. You could do some damage with a car. Like, there's no denying that, but like it's generally like its purpose isn't to kill people or kill things. That's what a gun is for. It was designed to kill things.
The other end of that, though, I would say is that when you get a car, you have to take courses.
Yep.
You have to pass a test. You have to have somebody witness you pass a test. You have to do none of that to get a gun in this country.
Yeah, currently my kids are my two oldest are getting their license. They have to go for a physical to make sure that they're fit to drive, that they can see, and if they can't, you know, you get the little check mark that you have to wear glasses when you drive. Then they have to take a permit test. So that they can, like that, and that's just to like give them the ability to drive with somebody that has a license.
Yes.
And then there's a period of time you have to do that with. Depends on how old you are, but like you can't immediately get your permit and then take your driving test. There's like multiple steps you have to go through to drive a car.
And it's not universal either, because like. You need a different one for a motorcycle. You need a different one for a truck. Yep. And then like you have to get it renewed every so often. I think it's a few years, but you do have to get it renewed. Where like this, I will look into this, but I was talking to people. And I'm like, I don't know if cops need to get trained. Cause like, I don't know about you folks, but like for instance, you have to get CPR certified every few years. Like you don't get CPR certified and be like, okay, you're good for the rest of your life. Do cops go through like basic training, like, you know, like refresh their training, their firearm safety and stuff every few years or something like that, or is it just like...
I suppose it's probably police department by police department. In Philly, they do have to go through, like, basically a proficiency training for firearm safety and firearm handling. Doesn't mean they actually know how to do it, but they have to at least take that course every couple years or so. But it could change because there's no standard, right? Like what Philly does could be different from what DC does, which could be different from what New York does, which is different from Chicago. And
yeah, it's so dumb.
And then like here, like I think like we yeah, you have to go through the federal whatever the FBI check so you can get a gun here in Pennsylvania, but that's not the same as in Texas. Like it's crazy. And we have way too many guns in this country.
Like three times as many guns per person as like almost every other country in the globe.
It's nuts.
Like I remember when I was growing up and I used to like research this kind of thing. And I was like, Switzerland had the most guns per person. We have doubled them now. Like, and this is all over the last, like, 20 years. This isn't like we have a history of everybody in this country owning lots and lots of guns. No, 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 no. Over the last two decades, gun ownership in this country has exploded.
I have no guns. It wasn't my fault.
And it's funny, too, because everybody's been talking
about it. Your fault, Jeff.
I said I have no guns. It's not my fault.
Like, if you don't have any, how is it your fault? But I mean, if you're willing to take the blame,
because yeah,
no, I'm not.
I forgot if it was no, it wasn't Kimmel. It was Myers who like had a clip of like a person talking about like how the Second Amendment became a thing in like the 70s because it wasn't really a. Because everybody goes on and on about the Second Amendment and forgets the first part where it's like it's a
well-regulated militia.
Yeah.
But we can't have any restrictions on people owning a crap ton of guns. Because
I mean, we could.
We could. I mean, yes, but I mean,
do whatever we want. You know.
Yeah. Except for that.
Even if it said the Constitution, it's like the Constitution is not like fucking. Written in stone or some shit. You could do whatever the fuck you want. But...
Clearly. Like,
in fact, the Second Amendment is a fucking amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah. Technically, you could do things, you know, but, you know, I don't know.
You could do things to the amendment. But yeah, it's so dumb. And it's like, because everybody's like, because in their head, they've gotten into their head that the government's going to come and I don't know.
Yeah, this is a piece. I always love this one. Like, well, we need to have them in case the government goes bad on us. Like, you and your handgun or your, like, fake assault rifle or your shotgun, you're not taking out trained military.
Start attacking the government, actually. Please, start doing that, and then maybe they'll do something about your guns. Because, like, actually, I'm not advocating doing that, wink, wink, but, like...
No, you're right, though. Like, it only seems if anything happens to them that...
I mean, it has. Like, there was a...
Yeah, it was a baseball game, right?
Yeah, and it was a Republican politician, and guess what? He came out of that. Like, he did a fucking stint in the hospital and everything, and he's still like, nah, we're not doing anything about guns.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I thought gun reform... I mean, honestly, I think gun reform was dead after Sandy Hook. Because, like, once, what was that, preschoolers, kindergartners got started and we didn't do anything about it, I was like, yeah, there's really nothing that's going to happen here.
But those were white kids, so, you know, they ain't going to do shit this time. Come on.
Which made it even worse when it was white kids. I mean...
That's what I'm saying. If they weren't going to do it for kids in Connecticut, they ain't going to do it for the kids on the southern border. Like,
well, and then the like you probably had politicians in Connecticut advocating for it, right? Like at least at that point. You don't have like the head of Texas is not out there advocating for this. They're advocating for less doors.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid.
Yes, Dora's an Armin teacher's because, heaven forbid, having the gut in the school is going to make things safer.
As no. It always has. Oh, wait.
Jesus. Yeah, so when I was in sixth grade, I didn't move fast enough. My teacher picked me up and threw me over a fucking desk. If she had a gun, she probably would have killed some of us.
This is the problem. Like, if you have people who are trained with firearms who are afraid to engage a shooter, what happens when somebody who's just handed the gun and is like, you might need to use this one day? What are they going to do? They're going to actually be shooting students who are
That's not a fair position. Like,
it's just not... Nothing good is going to come from that.
No, and it's not fair to put teachers in that position, man. That's not their job.
Like, are you just going to start sending, like, if you're going to send teachers to, like, weekly firearms classes, like,
that's great. Yeah,
let them prepare us for prepare students for American society and, like, the economy by having their teachers spend half of their class prep time learning how to shoot guns.
That's the professional development seminar. Right, my wife is going to have to...
They haven't told anybody, but those one day off a month that my kids have for professional development for their teachers...
It's all going to be gun training now.
Firearms training. That's it. That's what it is.
And again, the other thing that people have mentioned, which, I mean, we've all, I assume, been through the public school system. Folks have kids. Schools don't get a ton of money. And then you got to, like, invest money in, like, firearms and firearm training, or I don't know, these mystical veterans that we're going to get to volunteer. And again, all of this, it comes from the point of, like, making the adults feel better about themselves. Because again, I can tell you, as somebody who, you know, went to school where we had to go through metal detectors every day, it did not make me feel great having to basically strip down every morning. Like, I still dislike metal detectors. Like, when you have to do it at the airport, I mean, I don't get, because they scan you and everything else, but yeah, like, I went to Citibank, I think, and I remember going to that building and them having scanners and stuff to get in, and I'm like, oh, this is really weird, like, showing ID and all that other fun jazz. But here we are.
Yeah, and you're gonna have, like, an exodus of, like, there's already a teacher shortage.
Yep.
If you're like, hey guys, you now have to be you now have to learn how to use these guns, like, a good majority of them be like, no,
bye. Because that's the other problem is, like, teachers are educated people. Like, you have to have a college degree. You have to, like, they're going to be like, no thanks. I'm out. Because that's the smart choice.
Yeah, but, and I think part of, I mean, at the same time, I do think they want to brain drain, because you have all of these things where teachers going to get in trouble for mentioning America's racist past or something like that, where it's going to be like, you are, I mean, you had it with COVID, you have it with this stupid attack on CRT. I don't even like using that term, because I feel like we so much play into the right wing talking points. It's the right, same
thing. They literally just made this term up.
I know, that's what I was going to say.
That's like, the worst part.
They've co-opted history and labeled it something, this dark, sinister thing that's really only taught to law students. In master's programs, and like, oh, your kids are learning this, like, it sounds spooky, like, to dumb white people.
I mean, you know, school was pretty whitewashed when we were kids, and I imagine it's not a million times better now anyway. It was like, basically you learned slavery was bad, and then slavery ended. It's like, okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you never learned about Tulsa.
Yeah.
There's so many things just never experienced.
Yes, I mean, I was going to say, Tulsa is an example of that, because literally, I remember when that episode of Watchmen aired, and it's like half the country was learning about it for the first time. I mean, Juneteenth just popped out of nowhere in the last 2 years for people, apparently. Yep.
You want to hear something wild? And I still remember this. Like, I went to school in Chicago in the 90s, and I think it was third grade. They were teaching us about the Civil War, and I can't remember this teacher's name, but she taught it as, no, it wasn't about slavery. It was about states' rights. That's how she taught it. And I was like, and I remember like being in the classroom at the time, being like, no, that's not right. Like, you know, I've heard of this before. And it, like, she wasn't like the first teacher that had ever taught us about it or whatever, you know? And I was just like, what the fuck is this lady on about? You know, like she like was real pointed about it. Like got all like, you guys have to understand it was not. And I was just like, and you know, that's fucking crazy. Think of that.
Well, and like, so that's, you have like a crazy person in Chicago, but like, yeah. In the South, like, there's a lot of those people that are, like, pushing that narrative.
It's the textbook, like, probably, I don't know, but I swear to God this happened, dude.
Like, oh, no, I fully believe you, because...
I remember thinking it was weird at the time, and I was like, what the fuck is she talking about? And it wasn't until, like, years and years later, like, 20 years later, when I understood that, like, oh, no, she's just racist, like, you know. I'm making a drink, I'll be right back.
Well, so the world continues to be a giant dumpster fire, and everyone's having a blast.
And there's no video games to play. Congratulations, everybody. Not only are our children all dying, not only is the world melting from gas in the atmosphere, not only is Russia invading Ukraine and something that could lead to thermonuclear war, but there's no video games to play.
Yeah. It's like... I mean, it's been, we're now going on 2+ years in this pandemic, and that was like at least something that we had, right? Like at some point, like new movies dried up, but there were still, you know, Tiger King or whatever the fuck it was. Like there were still new programs to watch, and there were still new games. And now we've hit a point where it's just like, now there's no new games. Like,
nothing. There's nothing.
You don't get that. Enjoy your collection of Pac-Man games that comes out on Friday, I guess. Like, because May's been empty, really, really empty. I think Earl, you said the Japanese reports.
Well, it wasn't even the Japanese reports. I was the Japanese sales figures came out. And I was, I discussed these with friends, very nerdy stuff. And it was like, Mario Strikers is out in like 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, is Mario Strikers the next big game? And that's like a mid-sized game, I think. I'm like, but what was the last big game? And my mind is like, kind of go through stuff that came out this month. I'm like, oh, there's really been nothing that's come out this month. It's like, that's quote-unquote big game with Switch Sports. Like Ash versus, I mean, the Evil Dead game, it has its audience, but I don't necessarily know if it's a big game. No. I don't know if any of those asymmetrical games have been huge. They have an audience, but right. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay, so we switched forces at the end of April. This is the start of June. Like, there has to be something that came out in May. And I like went on Wiki, and I'm like, there was really nothing. Like, I think, pointed out after the fact, I think Sniper Elite 5 is out this week. That's a different beast we'll get into.
What is
Sniper Elite 5?
Where you're in that not all Nazis
is were that bad. Is that considered a big game? I've never played those.
It's well, the big biggest terms, thing going yeah. right now.
I mean,
big in terms of like having a some recognition to it. And then, you know, before we get into like, oh man, these guys hate indies, it was like, we were like, I hadn't even heard of like an indie game or like a downloadable title that came out this month where a lot of people are like, yeah, like, you know, we've had Hades. And it's like, there's been nothing that kind of, it was just one, it's weird that McMay's over in like 5 days. But I'm like, yeah, there's really been nothing. And I know we've talked about it time and time again. But then you look at the fact that like, this continues for a while. Like the next major title, I would think, just from a standpoint of having marketing and a company behind it, would be Xenoblade 3 at the end of July. But I'm trying to think of anything in June or July that's like noteworthy. Again,
I mean, there's that Diablo Immortal is, but that's kind of like mobile and PC. Like, but that, I mean, that's a big name. Diablo is a big name.
But it's like the other thing, like that Earl touched on, is like there's not even big indie game. Like, if an indie game is awesome, we're totally like, I put Axiom Verge, I think, number two last year. You know what I mean? Like, that's.
Yep.
Like, I wish there was an indie game I could be excited about. Like, anything. I'm fucking. Like, I'm like, I guess I'll play Call of Duty. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm out of ideas here.
Yeah.
We may be sleeping on Trek to Yomi.
I didn't look anything.
We might be, but
I don't know. Like, it's not like I've heard some people go, "Oh, that's really good" as well. But I've forgotten. Like, but it's, I think, like as Earl said, nothing's been really big. Nothing's been like a.
Nothing's taken over the conversation. Nothing's
right.
Been yeah, like, no indie has broke through.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's. It's not like a Nobody Saves the World or. Or anything like that, that, you know, we got earlier in the year. It's been weird.
Like Tunic maybe was like, that was like kind of a thing
for a little bit. Yeah.
Or like 2 days out of 1 week earlier in the year. Yeah. It was a big deal. I don't know, man. I think video games are done. I think we need to cancel it.
Just cancel video games. It's
completely over.
It's over. Don't worry about it anymore.
I brought the bottle in here with me too, by the way. We're just gonna do it that way.
Yeah, it is weird. I will say, to parlay this real quickly, I played the hottest new game of the week, which isn't even out yet, but I was in the Multiverses Kills Alpha.
This is the Warner Brothers Smash Brothers clone?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it is a Smash Brothers clone. I mean, that is the short and sweet of it. I will say, my biggest complaint with the game is it works. I still feel like the hits have no impact, and that's really weird for a fighting game. Like, you they need some type of feedback that you're actually doing damage. Outside of that, I actually do think it was surprisingly fun. I think of all the Smash Brothers clones I've played, it's the one that actually seems to have the most kind of care put into it. And I don't just mean by it being a solid game, but also like the presentation and the feel of it. I think it's a free to play title, or it will be a free to play title. So like some of the systems are in place now. And some of it, you know, you can't buy gold right now because it's an alpha. But like, you got to feel the system and how the battle pass and level up work. The characters that were in it that I was able to unlock, for the most part, feel very different. Which I think is always a big part of the genre, is making sure the characters feel distinct. I think Smash Brothers is great with it up until like Brawl, when it's like, we're just going to create clones of everybody. It's still great that they have like 40 or 50 unique styles, but yes. But like Tom and Jerry, they don't play like Ice Climbers, but they do play very fascinating because it is like a 2-in-1 character. But you control Tomcat, and you can use Jerry as a projectile. But if you throw Jerry or use him as a weapon, like, Jerry will just sit there. So you can either run up to him and get him, or you can like, one of your neutral attacks is like using a fishing line, which you can use as an attack, but you can also use it to pull him back to you, which took me a second to realize, but I thought that was really clever. Harley Quinn uses a lot of like gadgets and props. Taz is like this weird kind of force of nature, and he's kind of better in like, it's, you know, you can play free for all teams. He's better as like a kind of wild card, and like he can just go in with his whirlwind and do a lot of damage. Wonder Woman and Superman tend to be more tanks, more heavy hitting. But again, like, you know, like, and then there's some distinct traits. Like Wonder Woman, for example, she has her lasso of truth. You can use the lasso as an offensive weapon. You can pull enemies, you know, you can push enemies away with you. But in like team matches, you can actually pull on your partners and pull them forward. And there are other attacks like that where, like, again, with the Tom and Jerry thing where you can use the fishing line. there are attacks and methods you can use to kind of do like this, not necessarily call it moves, but I guess say like you have a partner who's probably not as strong and you want to like, they're flying off the stage. You can like one of the OC, one of the original characters has a move where you can kind of like drink with them and then yank them back onto the stage or kind of keep them floating for a while. And I like that it adds an element of strategy to it. If you ever play Smash Brothers, you know, Smash Brothers gets its name from the Smash Attack, which are the attacks you use when you hold A in a direction or hold A and you charge up for more power. This one has that same system, but there's an actual power meter so you can kind of know when it's fully charged and stuff like that. And you can't, like, you know, you can't like, spam move constantly, because if you do, there's like a move downgrade system and it will tell you that. So yes, I think that a lot of those systems were well thought out. They work really well. I think it's really clever. And then I think what they do with the free-to-play element so far is also really smart. One of my favorites is that, you know, again, if you've played Smash Brothers or almost any game that mimics Smash Brothers, the point of the game isn't a normal fighting game that the point is to, like, you know, run down your character's health. It's that you want to knock them off this stage on any of the extremes of the stage. So one of the unlocks or one of the things you can kind of unlock on the battle pass and stuff is unique custom elimination animations. So if you can unlock one, which I love, I've seen, and is the Unitoons. If you've ever seen an old school Unitoons cartoon, Porky Pig will come around at the end and say, "That's all, folks."
Mm-hmm.
So when you KO somebody, that little thing will come up on the side of the screen, like, "That's all, folks."
And that's neat.
Yes. And then there's a bunch of different ones like that. So that's part of what you unlock, stuff like that. You unlock taunts, you unlock banners. You'll knock alternate costumes to the characters. So there's stuff that, you know, you can play around with and you can kind of have. So yeah, it's like stuff that, if you played Fortnite or Apex, like you'll knock taunts and sprays and stuff like that. They don't do a ton, but it's always nice to have, and you find your favorites and you can mess around with them. So it's like, I think they're approaching the free-to-play stuff smart as well. I think some of it, like, you open up the actual battle pass seems to take a while with each match, but there are tasks and challenges like any battle pass you can complete. And again, I feel like it's a free-to-play game. I think I will check it out when it actually launches. But right now, I think it's a ton of fun. It's in a really good position. I think they've done a great job of having a diverse, they're having a really varied selection of characters. Abilities, they're pulling from, you know, it's not just like DC heavy, it's not kind of a barrel, you have Bugs Bunny, you have Shaggy, you have Velma, you have Taz, you have Superman, you have Batman, you have there's a few DC characters. Iron Giant's a character we've seen, they have original characters. Are your stocks in the game? So like they're pulling from a lot of different properties. I mean, I think Harry Potter characters have been teased. So they're doing, I think this is kind of like, this is what they've been working towards. I always joke with Warner Brothers, you know, they've had Ready Player One. They did Space Jam. They did the Lego movie where it's like, yeah, we own all these IPs. Isn't it great? And they think this is the first time where it's like, okay, we own all these IPs. And it actually makes sense to smash them together as your favorite toys.
Yeah, I mean, they have a potentially really deep roster. They keep adding characters, and it sounds like it could be fun. And it's going to be free to play, so when it does come out, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Is this the one where they said they could add HBO characters?
Yeah, like I said, they already have. Yeah. They already have Arya Stark from Game of Thrones. I think there's been rumors of LeBron James being in there. Like, he's not from an HBO show, but like the fact that like they're already kind of thinking outside the box with the characters they can get. And I mean, he also has a connection because he was in Space Jam. But like, yeah, if they support it well, it could be their Fortnite, where it's like, again, they have a wealth of characters and costumes to pull from.
Omar from The Wire and fucking Tony Soprano.
I would say the one thing from a presentation standpoint, I think it's awesome. Yeah. But but might actually
that would hurt be hysterical.
That but might actually hurt them in the long run is that they like so far all the characters are voiced, and I do think like if you have that expectation,
Omar or we could do sound bites from them.
I mean, you could do stuff, but I do think like you don't necessarily get to turn it out, or it's like because like right now it's like you get Kevin Conroy voicing Batman. Kevin Conroy has been Batman for 30 years now. You have Terry doing Harley Quinn. You have Maisie Williams as Arya Stark, where you're getting like these actual like big names.
Yeah.
Like you know, like yes, that's great at the beginning, but like 6-7 years from now. I mean, it depends on how what the game is doing.
Yeah, if Christopher like, you could get Christopher Moltisanti high on fucking H fucking sorry, just amusing the fuck out of me. Imagine playing with these characters in a fucking fighting game. It'd be so awesome.
Yep, like Neo versus Tony Soprano versus Batman versus Brian Gumbel.
Gumbel. He's a character from
HBO. I will say if they are able to nail it, it works because that is one of the I think one of the best aspects of Fortnite. It's like it's a game where you can be on a squad where somebody's Iron Man, somebody's Predator, somebody's like the Mandalorian, and somebody's like an original character. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. That we ran into Moon Knight and a Batman and a you know whatever you have, and it's like, yeah, that all makes sense. That all works because we're just going with it. And I think again, like Fortnite. I know everybody loves it, but it has a style that uniforms all these characters because I think, you know, I don't hate beating up on this game, but I do. You look back at PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, that game had a lot of issues, but I think one of them was that they tried to keep each of the characters in their actual style, and it's just so much of a clash in designs and scale and size. It looks really weird. Where it's like you kind of create this style that you can keep everybody in, and it works in your favor sometimes. Most of the time, I think.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. But you said it was an alpha, so
yes.
It sounds like it'll maybe a little ways off.
Yes, I think there's an open beta in July that I think because this is like invite only, but I think there's an open beta that anybody can join in July. It should be the next game of the summer, I guess.
All right. I mean, I guess maybe we get it before the end of the year. That'll be fun. Speaking of like games of the summer, Fall Guys hits Xbox and Switch in June.
That's finally free to play.
I mean, I never got to play it. You guys played it?
I haven't played it.
No, I did not play the PS4 version or whatever it was.
It's so. Like I play multiplayer games on Xbox. So if it's not an Xbox, yeah. I'm not going to play it.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely check it out. It looked fun to me.
I played it. It is such a weird. No, I think the game itself is great. I mean, it's like a really. It's like Gang Beasts meets American Gladiators, if that makes sense to anybody.
Yeah, but, I like games like that.
Because like it has like the Gang Beasts weird physics where like people bump, but like it works in that game's favor. And like it's obstacle course. Like you're getting from point A to point B, and then
I like that.
It's really fun. I think it's a ton of absolutely blast. What I was gonna say is really funny to just kind of see because I remember when that game that was like it came out. It was like this massive pandemic game where it was like people were trying their best to like partner up with them to get like in-game content and stuff like that. And like a year and a half later, it's still decent. Like it's a popular game, but like that momentum is kind of gone. So I'm kind of curious to see.
Remember PUBG? It was like that. It was like this is the like. Does anyone is that like still a big deal or no?
Well, PUBG is still huge. Yeah.
Oh, really?
But PUBG, the difference between that and PUBG got outmaneuvered by Fortnite. Fortnite kind of.
I figured it died because.
No, it's not just audience
and Warzone and stuff. You know.
I think the other thing is, and I think again, like you kind of get accustomed to it's when you're first. Sometimes it's like people have. Because I think Fortnite and Apex are the same thing, where it's like there's one map, and it's like, oh, there's just one map. It's like, oh, no, there's one map because it's random, and you want to actually earn the map to learn where to go and places to hide and stuff like that. Where, like, you know, like, and then Fortnite and stuff changes that, like, Fortnite changes its map in a week and a half. I don't know how often Apex does. And then part of the appeal of that is like, oh, like, what is new? What's like, what are new points of interest?
Changes, like, yeah.
Yeah, so I think Apex, I mean, not Apex, PUBG, because I remember, like, people were like, they were like, oh, when we get a new map, when we get a second map. And it's a massive map. And then I think once you kind of got accustomed to what that genre is, it's like, oh, I understand why there's like one map and it stays that way for a while. But we have changes so it can freshen up a bit and people have other points of interest.
Yeah, it's one of the things I see as a problem for that Halo mode they did just introduced with the last Spartan Standing. So it's basically a battle royale, but the map is like, it's bigger than a normal arena map, but smaller than a big team battle map. And those maps, they're not big enough to do those types of changes. So I think you will, like, for that, you'll need a second map or something.
Halo needs maps.
In general.
Yeah. Just throwing it out there.
I guess while since I've sort of brought up Halo, I played the new mode they introduced this week called Land Grab. You guys know, I'm trying to think of, I think it might be called Control in Call of Duty.
There is a mode called Control.
Might be called Control in Halo as well. And I'm trying to think of what it's called in Battlefield. But basically there's like 3 points on a map.
Yeah.
You go capture that point and you hold that point, and if you have multiple points, you score points, right? That's generally how it is. And you can fight over a point and then like take that point and it goes back and forth. And that's how you score points.
How is that different from domination?
Okay, so like what I was explaining was control, like in general, how it's played. Land grab is different. They drop 3 points on a map, and the first team to capture it gets the point. So,
yeah,
like they drop three, you run to A, you capture A, they run to C, they capture C, y'all run to B, and whoever captures B ends up getting that, and then it goes like 2-1, right? So it's basically you're scoring a point. So then it goes, they'll drop three more, and you rush to go capture those as well. And it's the first team to 11 points. So you're trying to capture the points, and like it takes like, you know, 5-10 seconds to capture a point. But if you get pushed out of the point, like the other team could come in and take it until it's fully capped. Once it's capped, you get the point. So it's fun. It's very frantic. Whereas like in something like Control, you might back off. Like, all right, we're going to let them get this and we're going to cycle over to C because the points don't change. In this one, you need to capture the points. If you don't get it, you don't get the points at all. And they're quick matches are like, I don't know, probably less than 5 minutes. Lots of killing going on because like it bottlenecks everybody into the different points, like you're trying to take them.
Plus there are all those people who forget about the point and just try to kill people.
Yeah, so like
but that still helps them in that case though.
Wait,
I mean in the case that like if everybody's bottleneck, killing the other people makes it easier for your team to get the point.
Right, because like unless you are on a shitty team that is like where the guys are, we're just going to go off and look for kills as opposed to like trying to find where the bottleneck is and take on, like they naturally occur. Yet I had people tonight just like running off, like they weren't capturing anything. They like, I had a guy that had one cap and like, but he had like 8 or 9 kills, but you're not helping at all. And we lost. like we, not just we lost, like we got blown out like 11-3. So like if all you're doing is killing, you're not helping. Like if you're supporting your team that is capturing the point, you're helping. But it's fun. I had a good time with it. But yeah, it's like any objective game in Halo. If you lose one or two people not playing the objective, your team's probably going to lose. And I finally, I think it's been out now for an entire month, I finally played the new arena map, Catalyst.
Oh.
Took a month before it showed up in rotation.
What the fuck?
It's fine. It's a nice looking map. But again, like, it's one of those things that you need to play the maps to learn them. So, like, I know the other maps now because you've been playing them for months. And then this new map comes in that's been out there. Some people have been playing it. They've obviously, they're calling out points or, like, you know, over here, like, they have names for them. I don't know what the fuck they are because I've never been on the map before. So they're like, you know, there's a guy over in this section. I'm like, I don't know where the fuck that is. And you're the one guy that has a fucking microphone in this game. You're calling out points and nobody's going there because they don't know what it is. But it's a nice looking map, but it is not enough. Like, they need to add way more to that. Jeff, you're playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, the Vanguard.
And I think they both came out around the same time. Vanguard a little bit before Halo's multiplayer launched. Yeah. I think it has double the amount of maps or something like that.
I mean, it seems like a lot. I'm still seeing new stuff, and I'm like level 35 in the multiplayer. Yeah. So that seems like probably a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that, what, a couple nights ago? I was telling you guys about it.
Yeah. How's it? 35, like, well, you're playing a lot in a few nights.
I guess, yeah. So I've played mostly just the multiplayer. Mm-hmm. But I did make sure before we started tonight to try out a little bit of everything. And so that there's also zombies and the campaign. I played the least of the campaign so far. I'm like probably 90% through the first mission, which is pretty long. But I did play a lot of the zombies and a lot of the multiplayer.
Are you playing the zombies with anybody or
just... Yeah, with randoms. Okay. I think I don't entirely get the zombie mode in Call of Duty, and I don't think I ever have, but I think this is like the worst zombie mode I've ever played. Like, it's terrible. Like, it's so boring, dude. Like, all right, let me describe the zombie mode. And I don't understand, like, I don't understand it. I don't understand what, like, all right, but the zombie mode in this, you have a little hub area. This is where you could, like, level up your weapons and do whatever. Like, buy better armor for yourself. And then there's, like, these portals all over the place. And it's, like, you know, there's, like, three different types of missions you could go do. And, like, one of them will be, like, I forgot what they call it. But it'll be, like, you escort this orb around a little map for, like, 2 minutes. Like, the orb goes from point A to point B. You kill all the zombies to protect it, and then it ends, and then you're sent back to the hub world where you could re-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
None of the, like, missions you could go do are, like, interesting or fun. Like, there's that one. There's another one where it's, like, activate 30 runes, and it's just, like, little red circles on the ground that you have to go stand on for 10 seconds. They're, like, all over the place. Like, I don't get why that's, like... I don't know.
At least in the past, it was like as you progressed, like you opened up more of the map or different maps. Like in this sounds bad.
I do remember that because like I did play some zombies in. I want to say Advanced Warfare. Was that one of them?
Yeah,
I don't know. I played some zombies.
Call of Duty.
Yeah. Okay, so I played some zombies, and I think that was the one. And I guess. So I like had to read up because I still like I don't understand what the end game of this is. So I was like trying to read up on what this fucking mode in this game is, and in this one, every time you go out and like you go through a portal, you do a little like mini mission like I described, and you come back to this hub area. I guess the hub area gets bigger, like it unlocks more of the hub area. So it's I guess it's just a little different It is a little different than how I remember the other one, but I still don't get what the fucking end game of, like, so after you do like 3 or 4 of these missions, you could do an extraction and then like end it, right? And I kept trying to do that tonight because I was so bored, and like the other players would decline me, like, no, we're keeping going, we're keeping going. I'm like, for what? What are we trying to do? Like, I don't understand. Well, it sucks.
They're probably just get it. I don't know, like, you get a currency or something from playing. They're probably just, we're gonna get more of this and
more XP. Okay.
Yeah.
It's really boring. Like, I think it's really boring.
Because that game also has its own like each of the, so Warzone has its own leveling system, and
yeah,
regular multiplayer has its own level, and Zombies has its own leveling system. So
are they not tied in together at all?
I think they're tied into the battle pass together. Like, y'all earn
this battle pass. See, this stuff is confusing to me.
But like each individual mode has its own leveling.
But I do have video games now.
Right? It's crazy.
Sam was up. You got the battle pass, then you have the season pass, which is different than the battle pass.
I can't follow it. I honestly don't get it. Like, I still don't understand the battle pass in Halo. Like, and you don't have to explain it to me. I just don't get it. Like, I'm just like,
it's bad anyway. So,
and I kind of, there's some things like that in here that I'm like, I don't get. And I did, like, when I first tried Zombies last night, and I did get someone to, like, if you get 2 players to agree to a mission, then that's it. And so I got someone to agree, like, let's do the extraction now. And holy shit, then you get bombarded with zombies, and it's a real test of, like, can you survive this? I forgot if it was, like, survive for 5 minutes or kill so many zombies or whatever. But anyways, I think that mode sucks. I think the multiplayer is excellent, and, you know, like, I think the multiplayer is usually really good in Call of Duty. I just think I think it's a little better here, because right before this, I was playing Call of Duty World War II, which is, I think, from 2017.
Yeah, it's a few years ago.
And I was getting my fucking ass whooped in that, like, so bad, dude. And like, I'm not good in this one, but, like, I could at least, like, I don't know how they do it. If it's like player management or what they're doing, like how many, like you can actually set, you could set, I forgot what they call it, but you could set like how many players you want like available on a map. I have mine set on like give me whatever, but like you could set it on like I want it to be frantic or whatever. Like I want it to be, I forgot the words they use, but like you could literally set like. Like how populated you want your multiplayer matches to be and shit. For whatever reason, in this one, it's like, even if you're doing bad, like, even if I have, like, a bad fucking round, I'm fucking still getting, like, 15 kills. I just have, like, way more deaths as well on top of that. So it's just, like, and I just don't even give a shit anymore, because I'm still having fun. Like, Halo is, like, feels fun to play, if that makes any sense. Like, it's snappy, and like, it's like, even if you're doing bad, it's just like, when you do get a kill, it feels really fucking fun. And I've just been goofing off a lot. Like, I was telling you guys, and I posted videos of it on, like, Twitter, like, I have a rocket launcher as my secondary. I'm just running around with, like, using it as my main. Fucking, like, trying to hit people with a fucking rocket launcher. They have like something called field upgrades, which are, it's not like, you know, they still have kill streaks, but this is just something that fills up every couple minutes no matter what. Like, I don't think it matters how good or bad you're doing or whatever. And the field upgrade I have attached is this little mini tank that you can send out, like, and you remote control it, and you can just roll up on like people and blow it up. It's fucking awesome. Like, it's so fun to do. Like, someone will see your tank and they start trying to run away because they know you're going to get them. And it's like, there's not much they can really do. You just keep rolling on them. And you can actually run people over with the tank, too. Like, I didn't realize that at first. But you can just run, like, say you see one guy and you see another guy, like, 10 yards past him. You could just run over the first guy and kill him. And then go blow up your tank on the other guy. But it's really good for, like, those like team of like, you know, something like Domination or something where you got like a bunch of people like protecting a point and you come in with your tank and just blow them all up once and get a triple kill. So anyways, I'm like really loving the multiplayer, and you could, you could set filters on, you know, if you select quick play, you can just select like, all right, this is what I want in my quick play rotation. And so I've just got it down to, what do I like? I like team deathmatch, free for all, kill confirmed, and domination. And that's all I play. Like I try like, you know, control is one I tried, and I'm like, this is like, there's a lot of things that are just like variations of domination, I think. Mm-hmm. And I just don't like them. I think domination is very fun, but it's just like, okay, I don't need to learn a different version of this.
Right.
And the, like, the progression system in there is pretty simple and straightforward, at least compared to, like, to World War II, where it's like, in World War II, they had, like, these different, like, are you playing as an infantryman or this or that? It's like, here, it's just like, there are default, like, loadouts you could select, but, like, it really, like, pushes you towards custom loadouts right away, and it's just like you're just building out a character however you want. Very straightforward.
So in past games, there's been, like, I guess they're called operatives?
There are operators, and that is a little bit new to me. I think it's, like, it's something that they're like characters you can unlock on as you go along, but you do you do cycle through them anyways, no matter what. Like I'm not selecting any operator or anything, and like I'm always playing as a different character. And then with that whatever character they give me, I'm using the loadout I want. But as far as I can tell, all the operator does is like it's just different challenges. Like do whatever. Like it's just like giving you XP and shit.
In past games, like depending upon which operator you were using, like they had like a special ultimate or something that you could use.
Maybe. I don't know. There's people playing as Snoop Dogg, which is weird because he has like lines and shit too.
That's funny.
But yeah, I've not messed. Like again, it's like I just let the game. Like random assigns you like a different like I'll look like a girl one round, I'll look like this dude another round, and you know it doesn't matter because what really matters is my loadout, which is whatever, it's the same, it's whatever I choose it to be. The only thing I would say is like worse than the one I just played before World War II is like you know how when you like do something in the multiplayer, or it would be like Avenger or like, you know, whatever, like Comeback.
Yeah.
Like in World War II, that was like a huge banner that would pop up as you do it, like across the screen. And then this one is just tiny, tiny little font, like near the center of the screen. It's like, it doesn't give you that when you're doing shit.
Yeah. Like that dopamine hit.
Yeah. I mean, they still give you it. It's just like a tiny, like, it is very tiny.
It
font.
Needs to be in your face. It means like level up.
I like that. Like
Avenger.
That's like,
give it to me.
It's not the. It's not feels the like giant you're doing something hit.
Call of Duty multiplayer. Like even though I got pretty good at not pretty good. Pretty good for me is like even at Black Ops Cold War, and. Whether you're even, or even if you have a bad match, that's like, I don't know, there's always at least a few kills you get that are just really fucking super fun, and just like, the way I'm playing goofing off, like, I'm just doing comedic shit, like, just trying to shoot someone with a rocket launcher when they're 2 feet away from me, like, I don't know, it's fun. And the campaign, I haven't played enough to, like, really say anything about it, but, you know, like, usually there's not a whole lot to them, you know, it's they're straightforward action games with like cool set piece shit, you know.
Yeah, they're fun popcorn.
Yeah.
I should play some with you at some point.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I bought it back in November or whatever because my son wanted it, but I haven't played it yet. So I played the beta or whatever it was, and I liked the multiplayer, but I just haven't gone back to it.
Did you play a campaign?
No, I haven't played any at all. So
the opening, I mean, like, it just keeps going. I'm like, man, this level's looking at something. You know, those where you're like snooping around as a spouse, so. And you know where you're kind of getting with the multiplayer.
I think mostly because there wasn't any like weird graphical stuff going on, like guns floating in the air, whatnot. I mean, so far so good. It seems super stable. The only bug I've noticed has been like, and you see this in open world games all the time, like this corpse that's like floating in a weird spot because you killed them in an odd spot. They don't know how to deal with it. Like that. That's just an open world game thing.
Right.
But I feel like I'm partially into the first act now. I've made it through the prologue. Like I know what's going on. It seems fine so far. I don't know. There's no. I feel like if you're playing an open world game, normally like when you're playing like Elder Scrolls, there's this like moment where the world opens up and you can go out and explore and find there. That doesn't happen in Cyberpunk. Which kind of bothers me a little bit. Like,
that was going to be my question to you: is has it opened up for you yet?
It hasn't. And like, when you play a game for 2 hours, and you're like, "This is this massive RPG," like, let me off the leash a little bit.
I hate games with long onboarding, Rockstar games are kind of like bad about like the real story heavy. Like, it's like, dude, could I just go out and play, and then you could give me cutscenes when I'm doing missions But I do remember Cyberpunk had a long first like, couple of hours.
Like, you get a couple in, and you're like, oh, now you have a car. Like, okay, why did it take me that long to be able to drive around the world? Now I can. So now I'm like going out and seeing stuff. It's not as bad as say like the worst one ever I remember is Final Fantasy 13. Where like you play it, you're like I'm just walking like I feel like I'm still learning how to do stuff and I'm like 6 hours in and like why are they doing like game doesn't open up until like and I don't know I can't remember it was some absurd amount like 30 hours. I'm like fuck that.
Well, 13 was it. Took a long time to open up.
Yes, I am not playing a 30-hour tutorial. That's not going to happen. But I feel like Cyberpunk is finally getting to the point where I can go out and do stuff, like I'm unlocking missions and can see things.
Yeah.
So I am interested now. Like I've gotten my first like upgrades. They are like the story-based upgrades, like upgrade your grip, upgrade your eye. So I kind of like look forward to like. Actually being able to design my character and figure out like how the whole system works. But I don't know. It's like, I'm kind of glad that this game languished for so long now, cause there's literally nothing to play right now. So I'm like, it's the perfect time to get into a game like this. it's, they're finally like done making it. So I'm very interested to play through more. So.
I might give it a go. One of my hesitations is because I don't like the beginnings of games like that because it takes so long.
But there's lots of parts of it they can just skip though. But I couldn't skip because I'd never played it before, so I didn't know the story, I didn't know the mechanics. So I'm like, I'm kind of stuck sitting through this thing.
I had heard one reason I was going to replay this is I had heard they had tightened up the beginning more so that you could get, you know, off the leash quicker. But maybe it's just you could skip dialogue. Okay, so
I mean, even that's a big one because you spend a lot of time like sitting in the car, like talking to people at the beginning, and now you can just hold down B and skip that whole sequence.
Yeah, maybe that's all they did is
because I had played through like the very beginning, like probably the first like hour of the game, and been like, this is broken. So now I played through that hour again. It didn't seem as broken. There were parts I could have skipped, but I was like, I don't remember the fucking controls. I can't skip this.
Yeah.
I can't skip the tutorial. I need to remember how to shoot guns and like fight in melee combat. I don't remember how to do those things. So.
If I pop the disc in again, because I got this as gift on Christmas when it came out. Mm-hmm. Will I play the next gen version, or will it make
me? Yeah, it'll
be able to download the next gen version. I think I have the Xbox One version, and it upgraded me.
Yeah, because some games are like weird. It's, you know, you.
I think this is one of the ones with the smart delivery.
It has smart delivery. Yeah, I don't know how smart it is. Like, you might have to find the
make sure you did
version.
The...
But yeah,
I didn't.
Okay.
Install it off the disc. I went through the Xbox app and installed it there.
Got it.
You might want to do it that way.
All right. I hope you. I think you like it. I don't know if you like Fallout type.
I like games like this. I like I like Skyrim. I like Witcher. Like, I like game like big world, open world RPGs with like deep upgrade systems, and like there seems to be a lot of story going on, so that kind of provides that structure. When you're like, I don't know what to do. Well, let's just progress the story. There seems
really
to be a lot
cool,
of
really cool like environmental. Like incidental, like minor stories and shit you can find, but like not, you know, that's like the cool shit in Cyberpunk, I think.
Yeah,
like I think I told you guys about the vending machine that wanted a good view of girls walking by or something. I forgot exactly what the deal was.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that you'll run into it. You'll get a good laugh out of that. But still, like that, like it's really cool.
That's one I should also play, but.
Yeah, I mean, I have that. I still have to, like, I keep kicking myself. I don't know why I'm playing this game when the when Horizon Forbidden West is out, and I have that, and I haven't played it yet. But I'll play Cyberpunk first.
There you
go. It's
not
like there's anything coming out.
No.
I guess, yeah, you don't have to worry about it. No rush.
Like, I mean, you're not going to play Xenoblade, so you're probably good until August. Like...
There's not even any strategy games coming out for the next couple months. I feel let down.
So Cyberpunk and then Horizon it is?
Yep.
So Earl posted this on his Twitter feed earlier today. Sony is doing TV shows for Gran Turismo, Horizon, God of War. Is there another one?
I think that's the 3D and... Wait, was it Horizon?
Horizon, yeah.
I thought that was okay. Yeah. So yes, I think those are the 3 announced today, and it's like, what is it? Is it Horizon's Netflix? God of War is
Amazon,
and then I think that Gran Turismo came out later on. That might be a movie directed by Neil Blomkamp.
Yeah. Very weird.
He's directing what?
The Gran Turismo movie?
Fuck.
Yeah, Gran Turismo, the car game that has so much story and narrative.
The guy who made like one movie.
He's made these two movies I enjoyed.
He did
Chappie and District 9. I really like District 9. Granted, I've not seen that in quite some time, but I remember enjoying it. But
we did Elysium too.
But more to Chris's point is that he's doing Gran Turismo, which is a car game. It's not Mario Kart. It's not Burnout. It's not Need for Speed. It's a car game. Literally, it's the whole.
There are no characters.
No.
Is there someone in the driver's seat?
Yeah, there's somebody.
There's actual like dialogue and people talking to each other and like.
It's not even this narrative or anything. It's Mario Kart personality, Burnout. You have those crazy stunts and stuff like that. Need for Speed, calling a spade, you created the entire Fast and Furious franchise off of that game.
Yeah.
That. Gran Turismo's big thing is it has realistic cars performing realistic-y and realistic environments. What does that translate to in a movie sense? Okay, what does that translate to in a movie sense that this IP offers? Because you can do movies like Ford versus Ferrari.
I was going to say Ford versus Ferrari. I don't know.
But like that's a character. That was based off a people.
Those are history, things that happened in history that like had some sort of impact on history. Yeah, like
you can like you like. I mean, again, you could. I mean, you could get creative with it. But like one of the things, and I could be mistaken. It's I've never actually played these games, but I remember one of the things is that Gran Turismo, because it uses actual cars, they can't do crashes and damages and stuff like that.
So that is true. Although that's their reasoning. It's
Forza seemed to figure that one out.
Yeah, there is damage in other games with real cars, but that was always their reasoning, was that you couldn't damage them because the license holders didn't want you to hurt their babies.
Liars who lie. So
you can't even do like a fun. I mean, again, you could probably get around that imitation in a movie, but I'm like, what does Gran Turismo itself offer, like that you would get out of
a name that they own?
It's not even a name that's like, oh man, I gotta go see that Gran Turismo movie.
I don't know, man. I don't understand. Do studios know that they still write books that you could like make in the movies? Like,
well, okay, the difference. The difference here, though, and that
Sony's doing this.
Sony's doing it. So this is
Sony. No, that's what I'm saying. It's a name that they own. Yeah, cross promotional and whatever. Fucking.
I mean, well, you could see. I mean, I'm curious because I've not seen anything that has pointed to like an uptick in Uncharted sales, and the movie's done really well for itself. Yes, there's no new Uncharted, but like. You've seen that like Pokemon Go, for instance, had a lot of had a ripple effect where like, those Pokemon, the older Pokemon games had an increase in sales. We've not seen something like that with Uncharted, where it's like, oh, I mean, I would say I would point to, honestly, I think the biggest example is comic book movies. Comic book movies are at this point, a multi-billion-dollar industry. Comic book sales don't really follow that trend of like, oh man, like Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness came out. I gotta go to my local comic book shop.
Are comics more popular than they were in the 2000s, though?
No, not really. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I would assume the idea is that, you know, brand awareness type thing. But
the problem with that is, like, brand awareness is not.
You know, the Marvel thing has been tested, I guess, at this point.
It doesn't translate back. I mean, part of it is, like, you know, you don't promote comics in the same way, but it's like the brand awareness isn't Marvel Comics, it's the MCU. And it's not just Marvel, it's the same thing about DC. The brand is that brand. It's not, like, comics and cartoons.
No, I hear you. I'm sure part of their thinking is this is a thing that we own and we could do this and then maybe, you know.
Oh, sure. I mean, I would like Gran Turismo is the one that makes zero sense to me, though.
And I would also say just from the opposite end of it, it's like Sony does not have a ton of internal IPs. They have Spider-Man. I think they also bought a license. They have Jumanji. And that might be, and I mean, like, the Spider-Man spin-offs, Venom's done really well for them, but they don't really have, like, I get them trying to find something, and again, like, you don't have to, like, I mean, I guess you have to pay some rights, but you do own these properties, so I don't, this, you know, like, it makes sense that they're, again, I think the other ones make sense to a degree, but Gran Turismo is the one where I'm like, especially being that they're also doing a Twisted Metal show.
Yeah.
That should be like a movie that's made by a director that could do like a Grindhouse type movie. That would be fucking awesome.
Well, that's not a movie. That's a TV show.
Baby. I know, but I'm saying that's what it should be. Like, just like a fucking 87-minute movie from some fucking crazy director.
I mean, that could be interesting for sure.
I mean, I don't know.
And I mean, the short and sweet of it, really, will be that we are also going to see a lot more of this in the future. I mean, ignoring Sonic and Uncharted of this year, like we've seen Castlevania do really well for Netflix. The Witcher, even though that was based on the books, do really well for Netflix. We've seen Sonic do really well in 2020 and 2022. Now Uncharted's doing well. That people are going to start mining video games as like the next, I don't want to say next big thing because I don't think comic books are going anywhere anytime soon, but it's a prop. It's a medium with a ton of IPs that haven't really been mined properly.
I think that you're probably right, but I just think like in terms of how good the movies can be are even more limited than Marvel movies. It's like, yeah, Sonic was okay for what it is, but it's like, I hope not. It sounds like a fucking never-ending nightmare to me.
And I think that is, not a nightmare, but I am with you in this sense. A lot of people are like, oh man, you need to, like, you know, they want, like, I mean, we get in the ass of a TV show, you know, you want Red Dead Redemption. It's like, but no, the things that have worked are the stuff that has, again, more personality driven, where you can kind of, like, Sonic isn't like, it's not like, oh man, this is based off of Sonic 1, this is based off of Sonic 2. Like, it's Sonic, it's Robotnik, they bring in Tails and Knuckles. Like, there's elements of the games included in it, but it's a whole unique world and story that they created out of that. Uncharted is nothing, I don't want to say nothing like the games, but it's like they took set pieces from the games and like we can superimpose this into an Indiana Jones film.
The game stuff is the worst stuff in the movie.
Oh no,
because it doesn't make sense. It's like,
yeah,
it's again video gaming logic doesn't make sense in the real world. It's like that.
I just think video games, they're good at being video games. Like, I get it. I fucking get it. It's like, movies are toys now, basically. But fucking, I don't know. It seems even worse. Like, I can see it. I can see it being that. And I think like the Mario movie will make a fuck ton of money, like Sonic did. You know, like I really think it'll do well. But I just hope that's not the. We're just going to turn every video game and toy into a fucking movie.
I think we'll try.
That's what makes the money in theaters.
They will try to turn everything into some sort of other entertainment that they can make money off of.
Yeah. Like, I think what we'll see in the near to immediate future is, you know, like I have reverence for it, but like the late 90s, early 2000s for comic book movies, where it's like we don't know what works, so we're gonna try a bunch of stuff to see what sticks.
Yeah, like, so, you know, weird Spawn, and
I want my Spawn versus Batman movie.
You get Spawn, you get the Spirit, you get the Shadow, you get Sin City. I really like Sin City. I think that's a great movie. But you get a lot of that stuff where it's like we're just gonna try something.
Because, I want my ET versus Batman movie.
You know, give them time.
Yeah, so Gran Turismo coming to a theater near you, I guess, because the other two are TV shows.
Real, like, aside, I guess this is tangentially video game related. Why the fuck did Rescue Rangers not get a theatrical release? Like,
in hindsight,
it was good enough. Like, I think it's because kids don't know what it is, maybe, right? Is that maybe
it? I honestly, after seeing it, I was surprised. It's so weird that it didn't.
It's theatrical quality. Like,
I don't know if it's, I mean, it's theatrical quality for like a kid's movie.
Right. But I mean, that's.
But yes, the audience that's for it are, I mean, calling a spade, it's us. It's the people who. Like, yes, Rescue Rangers has not been renovated in like 30 years.
It was so funny. I texted my sister and I said, you know, she's got three kids. I said, how many times did you guys watch Rescue Rangers this weekend? I got no response from my sister. Like, she didn't even say, we didn't watch it. You know, they don't know what that is. Just nothing.
Just so. Too many times. That's how many times they've watched it. Too many. I still have not seen it yet.
I think you'll love it, dude. I really do.
I'm sure it will. Like, it hits for me. I have seen some people that are like younger than us, but not like our kids' age. Like Tony and my kids' age. Like, so they're like in that gap, and they're like, I don't like. It just seems really fan service-y. Like,
I think kids would have a fun time with it. I really do, and I think that like, I honestly thought it was gonna be kind of bullshit, like trash, but it was like the ideas in it are kind of clever. Like, like the bad guys live in the uncanny valley. Like, it's, I don't know. There's like little things like that.
That's kind of cool.
They're like really fucking clever, dude.
But I mean, like I like the Rescue Rangers, like the movie, like the original movie, Rescue Rangers Down Under.
No, that's a different franchise.
But I mean, that's where the name comes from, right? Like,
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait, the Rescuers. Wait, what?
The was it the Rescuers? Yes.
Yeah, the Rescuers.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's where the name comes from.
Get out of town. I didn't know that.
And then, you know, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers on, which was part of the Disney Afternoon.
Yeah.
Which, like, after DuckTales, like, I guess kids don't really know what that is.
Right. I don't know. That's what I was just saying. But it's like, you know, didn't DuckTales have a revival recently?
Yes.
Like,
and it did.
Successfully.
That 40-year-olds watched and not kids, maybe. I don't know. But
even the same point is like, I know Chip and Dale as Rescue Rangers. I think most of us know Chip and Dale as Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
They were characters before that. They started a bunch of Disney cartoons. They were just like, and then
Chip and Dale.
They were just chipmunks. Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't.
Rescue Rangers is, I think, how most of us see them.
Yeah.
But like, they've had an existence decades before Rescue Rangers.
Is there jokes about that?
No.
The assumption they started with Rescue Rangers.
But... Okay.
Yeah, there's not jokes about them like being like it starts before Rangers, like, but it's not like, oh, we were stars before that. I mean, no, it's kind of like they're the Rescue Rangers.
That would have been like an interesting Rescue Rangers was like their John Travolta in
Pulp Fiction.
In Pulp Fiction, thing. Like, yeah. they're like resurgence again.
No, like this movie is like now is when they're washed up in this story. Like, you know, that was their heyday, and now they're washed up type thing. Like, and before them, they were kids. Like, they were kids that met in school is how it starts.
Okay.
Tony, have you seen it yet? I have not, no.
I think I have to watch
it this weekend. I have my kids this weekend, so.
The one thing I will say personally is that it was not helped by the fact that I had to watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit the same week.
Why? So, you thought it was better? Like, or you thought Who Framed Roger Rabbit was better?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit is a better movie, in my opinion.
I haven't seen it in ages, but...
And that's what I said. It was hurt by... So I hadn't seen it in ages, so like, I think it would be easy to compare. But, like, watching it, and, like, one of the things that I think Roger Rabbit does much better is, like, the bending of toon logic and the real-world logic, where it's, like, those are two distinct worlds with two distinct logics. Where, like, this one, like, what they tend to do is, like, oh... Everything's smaller with the cartoon characters and bigger in the real world. And that's pretty much the logic. Everything else just kind of coexists.
I can't say for sure. It's been, like I said, it's been too long.
The other thing, and this is more of a Rescue Rangers thing, is that the villain is problematic in a way that's more meta than anything. Because, and I heard about this ahead of time, is that the villain is basically Peter Pan, which is exactly what happened to Peter Pan's voice actor, except he ended up dying young and poor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I liked the idea of what they did with
Peter. But yes, the problem is that is what happened to his voice actor.
Well, he didn't become a mobster, did he? Like,
no, but I meant more in that he got old and fired. And then
it's gonna happen.
But like, it was like he got in like his 20s or 30s or something like that. But yes, it's something where it was like he just got to the point where he got old, and you know they couldn't use him as Peter Pan. Yeah, he died. Wait, when did he die? He died when he was 31.
I was a little sad that they mentioned Jessica Rabbit, but unless I blinked and missed it, I didn't get to see no Jessica Rabbit in this thing. A little sad about that.
You can't have horny old men.
They should have had the cool world chick too, since they had everything else in this fucking.
Looking at the Rescue Rangers wiki right now, and man, cartoon seasons are wild.
Back then,
yeah, I think there's 56 episodes for season one.
It was like it was 13 episodes for season one, which is that seems
and then it'll legit. Be like
47 for season two,
which is then, like you know, animation is a lot of work too. It's not like you just pump them out in a week. Like I don't understand what the fuck they were doing.
If you ever seen some of those animations, they did bump. But if you, because I think I told you, I mentioned this when I did it last year. I did the Ninja Turtle series from the 80s. And like the first season is like 5 episodes. The second season is like 50 some odd episodes.
Yeah, it's like, it's only like a couple seasons, right? But it's just like.
There's 10 seasons, but there's a lot of.
There's 10 seasons of the original Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Okay, so
get out of town. No way, dude.
So here's how it goes. First season's 5, second season 13, third season's 47, fourth season's 41, fifth season's 20, sixth season's 16, seventh is 27, then 8 through 10 are 8 episodes apiece.
Through what year?
It went from 87 to 96.
Wow. I did not know. Turtles lasted that, like the original run lasted that
I knew it lasted that long. I think
Will's got the dates tattooed on his body. Come on.
yes, it was like, because I was like, I feel like I'm one of the few people who it used to be like a prime. I think people know now, but like, I used to grow up, oh, you remember when Ninja Turtles switched to like CBS and they had a new theme song and they like the opening now have footage from the first movie in it. And it was like a bunch of red skies. That was when they tried to make it gritty and like Batman the animated series.
Dude, remember He-Man? We tried to go futuristic. You're too young. You wouldn't remember this. It was traumatizing. Do you guys, Chris, do you remember like He-Man like tried to like stay relevant by like going like future sci-fi type shit?
I think you just asked the question all over again.
I don't think I caught that. He-Man going to the future.
I swear to God, look it up. Unless I'm crazy, I remember like, because you know it was like that weird mix of like fantasy and sci-fi, yeah, like the original version, and then it was like now He-Man's in space or something, and it was like totally sci-fi. It was like they're just trying to keep it alive. I think that, you know, whatever that experiment, I know I'm not making this up. I know this happened.
Oh, I'm sure. Maybe one season. Dumb shit to get so they could keep selling toys. So,
What was I gonna say? Just as a quick aside, I don't know what 40s, but do you know what the numbers mean? Because 13 is usually pretty, 13, 26 are usually pretty easy. 13 meant like once a week. It's a quarter of a year because there's 52 weeks you divide it by 4. Mm-hmm. So that usually meant it was a weekly show. It would probably air on Saturday. So you could air it in one quarter and then just repeat it throughout the year. 26, of course, is just double that, which meant it aired. And then 65 is the same concept. 65, if my math is correct, is... what am I thinking of? It's 5 times... It's 5 times 13, which means you can air it for 13 weeks, 5 times 5. So those were the syndicated shows, like the shows you'd watch after school. Those would have 65 episodes because it meant that you aired it. You wouldn't air it directly, but it meant that those were shows that would air for a quarter of the year with new episodes. So that's where the 13 comes from. It meant that it was like a Saturday morning cartoon, and 65 meant like it was a syndicated 5 days a week show. Again, it doesn't...
DuckTales, Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. It's that random stuff that I look into sometimes. Because you see that number pop up often and you look into it and it's like, oh yeah, it was like, it's a show five times, like Power Rangers, I think, would do that. 5 times a week, 13 episodes. It meant that like, you could air like, you know, you could air like the first 6 or 7 weeks repeat that for several weeks, hear the next one, repeat that, and you already have half a year covered.
Yep. And Jeff, yes, I believe it is. I believe this may be the 200X Masters of the Universe.
I don't remember it being called that, but yeah, it was spaceships and shit. Like,
I've heard good things about it.
No, I didn't. I mean, I was in He-Man when I was really, really little. Like, you're talking.
Okay, so maybe you're talking about the New Adventures of He-Man.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds like they might have called it that. What year did that come out?
1990, 1991.
Okay, yeah. By then, I was probably growing out of He-Man. Like, I remember I got to see Masters of the Universe, though, like the movie at the drive-in.
I don't know if I would talk about that, but...
Dolph Lundgren. I remember, even when I saw it as a kid, I was like, seems really different than, the show I'm used to, you know what I mean? It was still like, I don't know, I'm a fucking 6-year-old kid getting to go see fucking He-Man at the drive-in. It was still like, this has to be good, right? Like,
probably fun, right? Like,
even looking back at it now, it was ambitious for canon. It was like when they were trying to like
do something
step different. It up, yeah, and fell flat in their face, but.
It happens.
I need to watch that sometime just to see what I think of it.
Building off of that, the Sony news stuff, which we tangented into nonsense.
Pop history, yeah.
There was an interesting tweet from Ryan McCaffrey over. I don't know if he's still with IGN. I believe he is. But the news of So all these Sony shows coming out, and it's like his tweet was funny to see another Microsoft idea from the Xbox One era that didn't pan out and just proved that it was ahead of its time. Because when the Xbox One was announced, they talked about, oh, we're going to do a Forza TV show and a Fable show and a Gear show. And
I was going to say, I don't even remember that. what was he talking about?
Like they were going to do that Xbox entertainment thing it was a big push of their original presentation is we're going to do television shows for all of, they're basically trying to start their own network. And it quickly got canceled, I think within a year, but
before that, but do you guys know that there was a Viva Pinata, like Saturday morning cartoon show?
Oh God, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do know about it.
The only reason I know about it is because like I randomly, I mean, it's back when, when did Viva Pinata come out? Like 2006, 2007, something like that. Right. Yeah. Like I randomly like flipped the channel and caught it. And it was like that kind of like computer animation at that time. But I was like, what the fuck is this?
52 episodes over 2 seasons.
Get out of town, really.
Yeah.
Still a great game. They should make Rare, or they should just do it, whatever the fuck. They should bring that back.
Somebody should revisit it. Yeah, so like Xbox was, just 15 years ahead of where they were.
Crack that nut. They'll figure it out.
But maybe not 15 years. When was the Xbox One? Like 2013. So a decade. Decade ahead.
We're aging faster now, so it's kind of.
It's like 15 years.
I don't like it.
And then there are some weird rumors that I don't know if you guys caught them. One out there that Xbox passed on the Marvel license. In 2013, and this is why Sony has exclusivity on Spider-Man and now Wolverine.
Really? Their exclusivity doesn't predate that?
No, because at the time Activision had it in 2013, so Disney was shopping
for video games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Disney, I mean, Activision had the license for Spider-Man at least.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's not. Yeah, it's hard to say because it's not exclusive. Like, you have.
They could still reach out and
Midnight Suns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Guardians of the Galaxy that just came out recently. But and I think something like this has come up before. Man,
fuck Marvel. Fuck, I don't want that shit on my system.
Because it came up around Nintendo had the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Yeah.
And I think word around the time was like Marvel Disney, I guess, literally went to companies and like, what do you want? Sony was like, we want Spider-Man. Nintendo's like, we want this Marvel Ultimate Alliance. And Microsoft didn't take anything. So I mean, we've heard a similar rumor before in that regard. Like, they still don't have an exclusive Sony game, Marvel game, I should say.
No.
So I assume they don't want to do anything with that license, which is part. I mean, part of it makes sense. Microsoft doesn't really do license games, I don't think.
No. And the reasoning, I guess, when Disney reached out to them was, we want to focus on building up our own, you know, IP and working with them. It's just funny that, you know, that was in 2013 and we're still on the cycle of like Gears, Forza, Halo.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Sea of Thieves got dumped in there and that's doing pretty well for them, even if it's not necessarily a game we like, but like where, and Sunset Overdrive was probably just coming out then. So they probably thought they were doing stuff. It just didn't work out. And it is interesting to see that like Sony was like, we want Spider-Man, and then lured Insomniac back, who was doing a game for Xbox at the time with it, and they made one of the best Sony games that's come out in the last few years. So, other rumor out there is that EA is looking to sell.
I saw that. They're just shopping themselves around. Dang. They want to sell or merge.
Yeah, they've reached out to Disney, Amazon, Apple, and NBC, Universal, Comcast. Evidently, the NBC ones went the furthest, the discussions. But still nothing happening there. But more consolidation looks to be in the future, especially if EA, who is what I would think is, you would think of them as like one of the top two publishers, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, third party publishers at least, I would think, right? That it's also weird though, because it's God, because I think it's EA, and I'm just saying, what do they offer? As most, if not all, of their big brands are licensed.
I mean, they bring Madden, like, even though it is licensed. Do they bring Madden?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was going to make. I don't know. Like, sometimes I don't know.
Madden, soccer, like the sports franchises they have.
Okay, that's
how is that? I don't know.
I don't know.
How do you own the concept of football or like?
Well, but yeah. They bring, but then the name Madden is
the person.
He's
fucking dead.
He's dead. Yes.
No, I get that, but what I meant is like, I don't know if like the contract still would carry over if it's a new entity.
I mean, I guess that's true. We don't know the contracts, but I assume that, like, you know, if NBC Universal were to buy them, like, the contract would still be under EA.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
like similar to, let's say, when Microsoft bought Bethesda, right? Bethesda had contracts with Sony that still needed to be, you know, held up.
Yes, but I think that's different because that's a contract for a specific service. I think a contract for I don't know. It's hard to say because I mean we've seen this happen like, again. It varies on how the contract's signed. We've seen it happen where like mergers and stuff happens, and like a property may go because it's like I signed this with this specific entity. that entity no longer exists, so this contract is now null and void.
Well, I would think if you're not getting Madden,
getting FIFA.
Well, right. But or more importantly, all those individual soccer licenses that EA has negotiated, that makes the sale or the merger worth much, much less.
And it also, and I would also say it also varies on, like, even if you get the contract, because, like, even though it's been an exclusive, EA does have to renegotiate that contract every few years. So it would vary if you're closer to the start of it or the end of that contract. Like, if you have one more year, then you have to go through the whole negotiation process again.
And then is NBC going to be in a position where they could even do that? Because they also have contracts with the NFL. Weird. Very weird. But I guess more consolidation coming.
Yeah, I mean, the positive, I would say, is that they're going to consolidate, I mean, from the rumors at least, with people outside of gaming.
Yeah.
So, that is a net positive. I mean, I don't like any of these giant, but I mean, it's not like it's a video game company getting bigger. It's a entertainment brand getting an in-house, the developer, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, those are our four corporate overlords anyway: Disney, Amazon, Apple, and Comcast. So Microsoft probably slots in there somewhere.
Yes, Microsoft runs the software that all those companies operate on.
Yeah,
yeah. I was gonna say. I mean, I was gonna say, if any of you work in an office, I'm pretty sure Microsoft owns your stuff.
Yep. And the final thing that's kind of been floating around on Xbox stuff, just nothing backing it, but the rumor is there's a Gears remastered collection similar to Master Chief collection coming later this year, which honestly, if it kind of needs to be true for Microsoft, because they got nothing.
Well, like, can't you just play those games anyways
on Game Pass right now?
Yeah,
I mean, if you remaster them, you make them look prettier.
Oh, come on!
But are you gonna remaster all of them? Because, like, part of the Halo Master Chief Collection was, like, 1 and 2 are remastered. Everything else just kind of
I
assume that you do 2 and 3. 4 doesn't really need a remaster. It was an Xbox One game.
I guess you could just slap it on that too. This is remastered. It's totally different, guys.
But I think I think putting all the multiplayer together
would revitalize that.
Like having Horde, just all those Horde maps, having a community together. Like, that community is very fractured currently. So if you could tie them all into one group,
I guess
be helpful. And honestly, like, I'm not opposed to it. Like, I would certainly play it. Give me new achievements.
I would play some of those games over again for
achievements. Yeah. I mean, I would. It's been a while since I played any of them. I guess I would play one of them.
Also, damn it, I need games to play. I'll play the same game over again. Fuck it.
Those games don't.
You
take
can find
long,
the games.
So. I will say, I do find it funny that. I remember years ago, like, Nintendo used to get crap always, like, re-release. And now, like, re-releases are, like, because the other one is, like, The Last of Us might get over. And I'm like, but that's already been remastered, and that was remastered, like, a year after it came out. Like, I don't know what you add at this point, but that's another one that's rumored for the end of the year, is, like, The Last of Us. Not 2, just The Last of Us remastered, I guess. But I'm like, yeah, it's...
Right, I mean, that game already looked amazing and everything, like...
It's I don't get
the
it.
The whole remastered, like, some of the shit, like, honestly, does not look any different to me. I don't know.
Well, again, it depends, because, I mean, there's remasters, there's remakes, there's re-releases, there's ports. The gist of it is, it's a business model now, and I think everybody, it's just, like I said, it used to be funny when people are like, oh, like, you know, Super Mario All-Stars is just, I'm like, yeah, they were ahead of the curve. But yeah,
that shit had a whole new fucking... like graphics anyways.
Yeah, I think these can't just be remasters either. I think, like, I know that's what they're calling it. They need to be remakes. They need to be from the ground, like on Unreal 5. Yeah.
No, it ain't.
No, I would have to, like, I think that, like, you can't just release the 360 versions looking better.
But you, like, can.
You can, but where's the incentive to play them?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I think you need to have, I think that needs to be a remake like they did with Gears Ultimate.
Well,
didn't they do this with, like, Hitman recently? It was like Hitman Collection. Or I guess those collection.
Those, yeah, it was just, we put them all together.
Yeah.
What was the incentive for Halo Master Chief Collection?
I mean, you got.
Halo did do work. And it was like a.
It did work, because I thought one was remastered at that point already. So I think they remastered or upgraded 2's graphics.
They did. But, so you got 2. You got the anniversary edition of 2,
and then
you had like this suite where, like, you kind of were playing all the multiplayer together. Like, if they did that with Gears, if they did that,
then, like, yeah, then that's.
What I think I'm that's like, what it would. That's what the rumor, like, is that
because there's a Gears Ultimate Edition.
I don't expect the graphics to be redone outside of what they've already been done.
I'd also say I'm also curious about Halo, for instance, when Master Chief Collection on, you know, it had Halo 1, 2, 3 and 1, 2, and 3, I think. And then they added ODST and Reach.
This needs to have 1, 2, 3, Judgment and 4.
That's what I was more curious about. It's like, just is Judgment gonna be included, or is it gonna get the ODST Reach?
Oh, not.
Where it's like,
I probably won't even have 4. I'll have 1, 2, 3.
I mean, if you're only going to do 1, 2, and 3, like, if you're going to leave out 4, I think you need to include Judgment. I think you need to include it anyway. But
that would be good. I don't think I played that one.
It's fine.
I think, like, those games are like
the most weirdest, different out of all of the Gears.
I'm the weirdest fan of, like, those games. And I guess Halo, I guess, where it's like, I never get excited. I don't care when I play them. I'm like, oh, those are really good. Like, I think even Gears more so than Halo, where it's like, I just don't ever care about it. But then when I play a Gears game, I'm like, yeah, I see why people like this. Like, this is really good. But then after that, I'm just like, forget about them forever.
What I'm curious about with Gears is if they keep the multiplayer intact. Because, like, I mean, famously, Gears 1 and 2, I think, to an extent, were always kind of known as, like, the shotgun game. Because, like, the shotgun just wrecked things up close. That and grenades. I think 2 is the one that gave you the ability to, like, to start sticking grenades. So, like, you stick them on walls, people sneak up on you and instant kill. Or, like, you could get down and, like hit somebody, like, stick somebody with a grenade and just get a double, you know, you get killed and they kill, but you end up getting the points. So I'm kind of curious to see if they make balance in it. Because I think that's always the trick with re-releasing games. It's like, you want to, like, improve stuff that wasn't working before, but if you improve too much, it does change what the game was or what the game was known for. And it's always
I think you do exactly what they did with Master Chief Collection. It's just like, here's the original multiplayer. Have at it. Like, just do what you want with it. You want to play Gears 2? Here it is. Like, it plays just like Gears 2. You want to play Gears 3, which plays a little bit different, like, has different weapons and different, like, it's not just Nasher heavy, like, you know, noobs can use the sawed-off shotgun. The Lancer has more range and better stopping power. I think you just, like, you have it, so it's just a big hopper, and you do whatever you want with it.
You honor what they were.
Yeah. But I think you also need to have those weird, also kind of multiplayer offshoots, like Beast Mode, which was in 3. There's like a
weird, I remember that. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, like where you played as the Locust and, like, you start off as like a centipede or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think you need that stuff in there. We'll see. I mean, that's what, 2 weeks away?
Shit, I'm gonna be, you know, you could just shovel me some shit at this point and I'll fucking buy it.
It's the 12th, right? Is that the day of the Microsoft thing? So about 2 weeks away. But yeah, not much else in terms of news.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it is after midnight, and you folks are Star Wars nerds. The first two episodes of Obi-Wan are up now. But what I was going to say, and you mentioned it, is that it is kind of super mega depressing that we are about 2 weeks out from what would traditionally be E3 week, and we don't know anything outside of Microsoft press conference right now, I think.
Dude.
I missed something.
We know that EA is not having their normal show. And that's about it.
What if we get some new games like that we didn't know about that are coming like right away? That'd be great.
But I mean, you're saying
we need the conferences first.
Yes, you're in fantasy and we're like predicting E3 and stuff.
I think
we're at the point where we're like,
I think Nintendo will have something in June. I do.
Yes, but is that going to be in 2 weeks or is that going to be the end of June? Is it going to be July? Yeah. I think so.
I think Nintendo will have it that week. I think I don't know.
And because you have,
I'm an optimist.
I don't even know when Summer Game Fest is. I think you mentioned a date. I know Jeff Keighley mentioned that don't expect a lot of individual conferences this year.
So that's actually the first thing that kicks off June 9th.
Okay, so we are less than 2 weeks away then.
Yeah.
If you think about like these companies are like kind of used to a certain rhythm, I think that you know, I think we'll get in the Nintendo conference that week, maybe.
Oh no, I think we will, but
I take my bets, yeah. maybe not.
But like, I guess what I'm saying more so is like, you would think that we'd have some idea of how
this
week is gonna go. It is just about like if the Summer Game Fest is the kickoff, that's under 2 weeks away, and then Microsoft is about 2.5 weeks from now, and that would probably be like. And that's still closer to, because that the 12th would be a Sunday, if my math checks out.
I don't even care about announcements though. I want like Microsoft to be like, this game is out today, like some random little indie game. Like that's cool. Like I don't know
why. Like, and again, I get what you're coming from.
Dying for something.
We're still at the point where it's like, oh, these things have to take place first.
I know.
Granted, yes, I know as soon as those things are announced, there's going to complain about like, why does this exist? Like, there's no games that you're actually showing. But it is weird that like, we're, again, day ends and like, I mean, today's Thursday night. Monday's a holiday, it's a long weekend. So if anything, like we won't hurry anything until the 31st of May. And then you're already into June at that point. And it's like before you would have I assume beforehand people would have booked off time by now because there are people who book off time to watch conferences on Monday and Tuesday and stuff like that. And people would be getting ready to travel and stuff like that. And like, there's like none of that excitement, which is, you know, we kind of knew that it's happened the last 2 or 3 years or whatever now. It's just really weird going into June and not like having an idea of like, okay, we know Microsoft's doing something. Like, the Square is Ubisoft. Is EA is... you said EA is not doing something. Is Nintendo? Is Sony? Is, you know, is there a PC gamer show this year? We don't know any of that stuff right now.
Nope. But we'll know about whatever Summer Game Fest is soon, so. But less than 2 weeks, as you said, Earl, so. All right. Well, I think that's it for us this week.
Video games.
No new video
games. I don't want to talk about school shootings anymore.
There's never going to be another video game. Just give it up now. It's not happening.
Is that soccer game coming up?
I'll buy anything.
If you if you want some video games to life right now, Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City is now streaming on Starz, and more importantly, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Get your fill, Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Paramount Plus, yeah. That shit too.
Well, if you have Xbox Game Pass and you haven't used it, I think they're still giving you a month free.
Maybe.
You can binge Hario and watch Sonic the Hedgehog, the killer combo of video game content that your heart craves.
I just died a little inside.
Yeah,
I know you can't hear it, but the inside I'm going.
My soul, just like the light went out in my soul.
Well, if it helps, are you one of those characters that gets made in their product? I don't know which one. I mean, I do know which one, but you get to find out. Is it Sonic? Is it Master Chief? Is it both of them?
There's Master Chief, but
can you see his nutsack?
No, it's from behind.
Well, you it's can like sometimes from, it's
not as no, it's, he's not like spreading his legs so you see his junk. It's just like Master Chief's very toned ass.
Better have a toned ass.
Remember that part in X where Kid Cudi?
You need a toned like... ass to beat the Covenant. Yeah.
Exactly. We'll be back next week. As we don't know with what, like, cause there are not games, but
no
Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk. I'm gonna play that Pac-Man Museum game.
I guess. It's like, here's so all excited. The Pac-Man games you don't care about anymore because there's better ones, but there you go. Right? It's pretty, not like
fairly true.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool. Like, it's cool. Like, it's an awesome thing to have, but.
And it's free on Game Pass. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. But, you know, there's Pac-Man 256, there's Championship Edition, DX, you know? And then there's this. It's like, here's the Pac-Man games from the back in the day. I don't know. Whatever. Fuck it.
Yep. Say goodnight, Jeff.
Good night.